Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, it's now or never, and I know I emphasize this, but let's put it in this perspective. We started this Now or Never campaign, I believe it was back in December. And so let me see, we're almost through March. So let's just say that's been 4 months. How much further along are you and are we in getting organized and starting to actually exert our political pressure on our public servants and our government? Are we able to actually start holding them accountable? Well, we're getting close in some places, but we have 50 states that we really need to be operating in. We need to be operating in every county, and that's less than 5,000 counties. Sorry for not knowing the numbers. And sorry for Friday, just trying to rush through and having all of these things that I want to cover. And this is not complicated, but I'm getting the impression that most people really, when their eyes glaze over, when I'm talking to them, I can see how, you know, they're having a hard time understanding this. The only reason that we're in this situation is because you haven't been educated, but this is definitely not rocket science. Most people understand the we the people concept. The people have the power, you know, those fundamental democracy, anarchy understandings. If you understand that and you start understanding the danger of a democracy and the danger of mob rule, then you have to start appreciating this concept of republicanism, that the framers instituted not a republicanism of the elite, as you can see in Britain, because look at the bicameral legislative body that they have there. They have the House of the Commons, the House of the Lords. Now, obviously, both houses represent the people, unlike in America's design. In America, it recognized sovereignty, that governments were sovereign and people were sovereign. In Britain, who is the House of Lords? It's the people that have the affluence. And if you understand, it goes into the monarchy, it goes into the paradigm that there are people. It's like a caste system. I mean, even India has a caste system. All around the world, that we believe that there are people that are better than others. At least they have that paradigm. And so their society is based upon those things. And again, I don't want to cloud the issue. The fact of the matter is what we have to start going through and what we have to start doing is we actually just need to get exercised, but we need to actually get beginning exercises of petitions, exercises of education. This stuff is not complicated. We have an enumerated constitution. If you can understand the power of attorney and the two differences, the two primary power of attorney, a general power of attorney and a specified power of attorney, then you understand that a specified power of attorney grants only very specific powers to an individual. A general power of attorney gives them carte blanche, full discretion of whatever it is that they want to do to you when you've given them that power or for you. Bottom line, 9 times out of 10, when people have general powers, that means that they do things to that person. A lot of times, too many people abuse it and actually just rob those people who mistakenly trusted them. And so the framers were very, very smart. They understood some of these things. And as a matter of fact, as they debated these things, they made this government, this constitutional republic, even better. You got to remember, Madison was the guy in the Virginia plan. In Madison's plan, he wanted to have a very strong central government, very similar to England. However, and as a matter of fact, the apportionment was to be done by population, and it was to be managed. Basically, Madison's government is kind of like what we see today. However, there were far less checks and balances, and bottom line, folks, What we have is the opportunity to be able to use the supreme law of the land in going after our public servants and going after our government in holding them accountable to the oath of office that they're supposed to take. Now, there's a lot of shams that are being pulled where they're being told that they're not really accountable to that. There's this concept of bonds. As we start going through all of these different things that our public servants and our government is actually doing, and let's just say that they believe they're getting away with, we have the power of the Constitution, and we have the power of the perception of the people. As people start understanding some of the shenanigans, some of the things that they have done to try to protect themselves, and some of these things, they don't have any protection when it comes to the Constitution to protect them from Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. They have no protection from you, the people. And so this is where we, the people, actually, when we start exerting, we don't want to exert mob rule. We want to exert compliance. We want to demand full compliance to the Constitution. If we get our public servants in full compliance of the Constitution, that means your liberties will be restored. That means that you'll be able to do those things that you desire to do instead of those things that you're being compelled to do by government. Now, we're going to be coming up with a sticker. You remember all those stickers that you're starting to see? I did that with Biden. We're going to have one that's better. And what we want you to do is we want you to get these things. We're going to try to get these things as close to cost. Now, because we're starting this, we don't know, because I've already got the feelers out on getting this merchandise so that you can actually start putting these things everywhere. We want to have you put these in the grocery stores, in the department stores. The cost of everything is going up, and we're going to have stickers for you that you can actually start using, because I think it's been pretty effective having those little stickers on the pumps. I did that with Biden, with pointing at the gas price. We have to start understanding the hostility that the federal government has taken towards us. They have been waging economic warfare for decades in trying to control our commerce and taxation, going all the way back to Wicker v. Filburn, going all the way back to even into the labor disputes and so forth, as they started rearing their head into the Department of Justice and creating their own laws. Folks, they have no constitutional authority to do most all the stuff that they're doing. We've got to get them back into doing the things that they're supposed to do for us and not these things that they want to do in controlling us. That's not in the Constitution. It's that simple. So, as I say, it's now or never, and I am your humble servant. And I'm really thankful that I'm actually being pulled into more and more regular meetings and working with different groups in different states. What I have to do is I actually have to start, you know, as some of these people that we're working with, we're grooming so that they can kind of start duplicating what we're doing so that everything isn't contingent upon me. I can't be a single point failure, and I don't want you to be a single point failure. We have to be able to be interchangeable, kind of like at a beehive. Or in a collective effort, and I'm not talking collective as in communist collective. I'm talking about teamwork in working together and working effectively, and we can do this. So I am your humble servant. I'm here to serve you. I'm not here to try to, you know, aggrandize myself, and I'm not trying to make myself rich. I look at these people. I don't begrudge anybody for making money. I begrudge them for being hypocrites. Anybody that is up there telling you that, you know, don't be worried, fear not, you know, be not worried, or what have you, or, you know, all of these conservative entertainers and whatever their little slogans are, I'm absolutely appalled at how they are treating this crisis, because they know what's coming. And they're not willing to kill the goose that's laying their golden egg. They just can't get away from it. So anyway, as you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching can help you. Please give him a call if you are interested in becoming disciplined. I'm not sure how many people have actually reached out to him, but we'd love to hear your feedback. And as a matter of fact, I'm sure he would love to hear your feedback, and I'd love to actually hear feedback from him on people that have actually called him and are working with him currently. ConstitutionEducation.us is an awesome place to get basic constitutional education and information from Keith Borders down in Florida. Check it out. Go through his material and find out what you can share with other people. Getting people to begin focusing on the Constitution is a very good thing to do. Timber Nation, if you're looking for hardwood furniture, if you're looking for quality hardwood furniture, and we're really close. I've almost got the studio completely done and ready to pull the trigger so that we can actually kind of send a photograph or two up to, you know, Timber Nation so that you can kind of look at what we've got going for this what I call a very beautiful desk. Anyway, Stan Kluett at RadioDustCovers.com. Give him a call if you're looking for any type of covering or protection for your expensive hardware. And Ad Local, we already do promos for Ad Local, but they are your ISP services, and they're the ones to go to if you need email services and support. This next one, Wyoming Conservative Chronicle, we will pick up after the break, because I want to actually plug this, and I want to make sure that you've got your subscription, and I want to explain to you why you need this. We'll be right back after these messages. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle is a brand new newspaper that is actually talking and getting into details. They've done one article with me, or on me, regarding what we're trying to do and why we're trying to do this. In other words, they're actually, it's because it's really not about me. It is about the message. It is about the Constitution. It is about the people needing to focus on the Constitution and exerting their rights. And so I can't emphasize enough how important this is in getting people to actually understand and actually getting involved. And so now that we've got what I would say people that are, you know, starting to report this, the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle, what they're doing is they're actually going into, and the reason why this is important, folks, because we got a campaign coming up, and we want to show you, the bird's eye view. Let's take a look at it this way. We want to show you and give you the bird's eye view of the only state, the state that we're closest in getting Republic Review moving. Why is this so important? Once we have one state actually identifying all of the violations, they will become the beacon. They will become the first cowboy to start communicating to these other states to say, oh, this is a violation. They have no authority to do this. This is the Constitution, and that is not the Constitution. They're going to be drawing the lines out, basically identifying precisely how far the federal government is operating outside their authority. This is huge. I cannot tell you enough how important it is. And if you really want to get a bird's eye view, it's $30 a year to get a subscription. And so I would just ask, this is probably the most important news journalistic piece of material, or I don't want to use the word propaganda. This is the truth. This is where we're actually going to be able to start giving you how important HB 132 really was this year, how important it is getting rid of these rhinos, and why we have to actually start supporting. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Any of you that have actually reached out to me in the past, and I've had plenty, I am asking you to start spending a little bit of your money instead of giving it to me. The people we identify need your love. And as a matter of fact, I don't care if it's a $20 donation to Art Maycumber. Art Maycumber needs love. And as a matter of fact, if you want to send him a message, send him $20 and say, this is love from GR. GR's, you know, supporting you. Here you go. Because I think it's really important that we can at least have an attorney general that I might be able to dial up and say, hey, Art, can we actually get some support on a lawsuit? Can we actually get you to start calling? Because if we've got one champion in the attorney general's office throughout the states, we can actually start peeling back a lot of these things that the government is doing by actually having the states start exercising their authority. And instead of actually going into federal court, going and getting these attorney generals to start using their state court. One of the things that we really emphasized in South Dakota, because they were really upset and they're trying to deal with this fact, this economic warfare that the federal government is using by shutting down their timber industry over what they claim to be federal forests. And so they said, well, we need to go into a federal court. And I said, no, that's a mistake. You need to go into the state court and basically prove the fact that the federal government has no jurisdiction in your forests. And then by so doing, you can actually have a state court say you have no jurisdiction and draw the line and be done with it. Now you're starting to get it. You know, when people start realizing that when you step into a federal court, you are surrendering your sovereignty because they have no jurisdiction over those issues, over those matters, if that makes any sense. If it doesn't, then you may want to read this jurisdictional. And as a matter of fact, I think I actually have that up there. Let me just go to the tape, because I believe in my most recent Constitutional Perspectives. If you go to Constitutional Perspectives, no, I still don't have, I will get it up there. There is a paper we did that we provided South Dakota that gives you all the details on the limited jurisdiction that the federal government has no control over any state land. State land is land that's within the boundaries of that state. The federal government cannot constitutionally possess any land in that state other than for the enumerated things within the Constitution. In other words, there's no enumerated power for the federal government to have a forest. There's no enumerated power for the federal government. Sorry. See, I'm getting all wound up. I'm talking too fast. there is no authority in the Constitution for the federal government to possess a territory or a reservation or a preservation or whatever. The only things that they can possess is for military training, national security, and needful buildings for them to do their functions, like maintaining the, you know, control of imports and exports, you know, in a port facility or an airport, you know, making sure that the people that are coming in have proper passports to keep the invasion from coming across our border. I mean, they do have some power, but they don't have unlimited power. Anyway, so you want, I can't emphasize this enough, please get your subscription to the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. We've already pulled ours. And so as we start seeing this, we want to work with them. And as a matter of fact, if you are attuned to Wyoming, if you're attuned to what's going on, you can actually help them, because you can help provide either editorials or what have you regarding the Constitution and how all of the states are being affected by unconstitutional mandates, unconstitutional assertions, and so forth. So anyway, let me just kind of move on. I didn't realize that we actually had a phone in the studio. Sorry about that. Anyway, as we move on, I've already covered Ad Local. I've covered all the rest of the obligatory, so I'm kind of proud of myself. But the one thing I haven't covered in a long, long time before we get into the counties, you know, I think it was about a year ago or maybe a year plus before the pandemic that we talked about the Bolsheviks in the pipeline. When I talk about Bolsheviks in the pipeline, I'm talking about your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, all of those kids that are in the school system. How many kids do you think there are in the school system today? You know, the baby boomers. Just think, let's put it in magnitude. We have about 330 million U.S. citizens, supposedly. I believe 40 million of those 330 million are invaders. So if you, let's just take it down to 300 million. We'll just make it 30 million invaders, and we have 300 million actual citizens that are in the United States. Now, out of 300 million, in the fall of 2020, the beginning of the 2020-2021 school year, so this was the last school year, we're in the current one, and I've actually gone to NECS or whatever it is, the National Education Center for Studies or whatever, and what they do is they give you all the statistics regarding education. And so what we want to do is, I want to get this thing out of here, but anywho, we want to give you these numbers. There was 49.4 million students in the public schools. Do you understand what I just said? Almost 50 million in the last school year, not the current school year, but in the last school year, there were almost 50 million kids being indoctrinated. Now, let me ask you this real quick. What is 50 million of 300 million? Well, that's 1/6. And now let's add how many kids at that same school year, how many kids were in the higher education, college, universities, and so forth, almost 20 million. So if you add 50 and 70, well, you know what? We're almost at one, let me see, not 1/3. It would be less, it would be, well, actually, so it's, yeah, it's less than 1/4, folks. So we're getting to a point where the kids in school are now learning activism. I'll give you some cases in point. Remember, there were a couple of rallies against guns by kids. These kids are being indoctrinated, and even in Idaho, and even, well, in a couple of school districts in Wyoming, there were kids that actually went out and marched against guns and gun rights. Folks, the Bolshevik Revolution is churning away. They have an agenda, and every day, why am I doing this? Why am I talking about this? Because I want to put this into context at the very beginning of the show. We've actually covered 4 months in time since I've been telling you it's now or never. many of you agree, it is now or never. Let me ask you this. How much work have you accomplished? Now, work is force times distance. In other words, what have you done? What have you gotten accomplished? Have you been able to contact, getting people united? Are you working with people? Are you getting organized? This is why we're going through what you have to do. And this is why you have to do it. GR can't do it for you. And as a matter of fact, I will tell you, you know, wishing won't make it so. Praying won't do it. The heavens and the moons won't do it. You have to do it. And so when we come back, we want to cover what you have to do, because this is tantamount. If we're going to save liberty and we're going to actually, I'll just say, make life bearable during the dreadful days of the Lord, we have an opportunity to do this. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
So I have a little note here, and I should have actually put this on a post-it pad so I'd see this first. I just want to kind of clarify something. One of the things I may have commented is that demographics is driving quotas and not vice versa, compromising the integrity of each and every type of group that demographics are driving. In other words, one of the things I was talking about Friday is that these agendas that are actually infiltrating the party, infiltrating work, and infiltrating these things, when people walk in, you know, if justice is supposed to be blind, it doesn't matter what you look like. In other words, your gender doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether your race, ethnicity, your attractiveness. It should not matter. I want to be clear on this. If justice is to be blind, it does not matter what or who you are. Every person should have equal footing on the scales of justice. And that is the same thing in everything we do. So when somebody walks in, and the reason I'm harping on this is because I see parties, the local Republican parties, they bend over backwards to placate different demographics. One very specific just in Spokane County, I think they had the widow of Martin Luther King come out and speak. It was, you know, a feel-good moment, right? But in so doing, they made it about race instead of the commonality of all human beings desiring and deserving their inalienable rights of liberty. So in other words, every time you see somebody and you see them based on their demographic characteristics, their characteristics of them, then what you're doing is you're basically taking off the blindfold and allowing biases to enter into the discussion, to enter into the agenda of your party, your organization, and so forth. It shouldn't matter. If justice is to be blind, we actually need to be blind in all these other things as well. Because if justice truly is blind, then we have a truly fair justice system. But everybody that wants to say, hey, we want social justice rips the blindfold off of justice itself and basically forces you to look and say, because of this person's characteristics, their gender, what have you, they deserve a specific outcome. And that is injustice. Everybody deserves a verdict, and everybody deserves an opportunity to defend themselves, but they deserve the verdict of their merit. In other words, they committed the crime, then they should actually serve to do their time. Anyway, so I wanted to make a kind of a clarification regarding what I just said on Friday, because I was going a little fast, and having been poked a little bit on that, I figured, well, let me go ahead and take care of that. So back to these things called militias, because I want you to understand, we've gone through this already. A militia is, in the United States, a citizenry defense that deploys with deadly force to defend the people and their property. An unorganized militia is a unified body of citizens holding their government. In other words, this is not a deployment of deadly force. Unorganized means that there is no organization regarding the use of force or the design of deploying force. An unorganized militia is a unified body of citizens becoming vigilant in holding their public servants and their government accountable. Because bottom line, when the unorganized militia is no longer heeded and government gets out of control and government starts, government actually starts inflicting and compelling people to doing their will, then at some point in time, the unorganized militia then has to become organized, because an organized militia and every citizen. So let's start off with the citizenship. The oath of citizenship states that you are to support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. All citizens are required to do this. Now, are you required to carry arms and get organized and go to training and all of that? Yes, if you're a part of the militia. But if you're not, then you still have an obligation in the unorganized militia to actually be a vigilant citizen in holding and defending and supporting the Constitution and holding your public servants accountable to it and holding the government accountable to it. So that is the big differentiator. When you say unorganized militia, you have nothing to do with a paramilitary force. You have everything to do with citizen vigilance and citizen responsibility. So what we need you to do, and this is a part of the monetizing of the Reclaiming the Republic, what you need to do is you need to start helping people understand their responsibility as a U.S. citizen. See, the problem is that all the people that are alive today in the United States, there's only a few of them that have actually raised their arm to the square and taken the oath as a citizen. However, it is implied upon us, and you actually hear that in one of my promos, that this oath of citizenship is applied upon us at birth. It is a birthright and responsibility. Therefore, you have to impress upon people that even though they may not have had to raise their hand, that they've been granted this birthright, it doesn't mean that they're not responsible and they're not accountable to being a citizen in defending the Constitution. Therefore, they have to start understanding what the Constitution is, and they have to start understanding how the Constitution is being violated. This is how we actually, I think, you know, push and start moving people into recognizing that they have to take action. And as you start doing this, this is all a part of, if you want to call it a quick immersion in education, it all starts with petitions. There's all, you know, every single one of you know that there are groups, there are lots of groups in your county already that have good patriots already a part of it. What you have to do, and what we all have to do, is basically start getting them to working with you. And the unorganized militia is basically going to be the body that is going to drive First Amendment petitions. Why? Because not one group out there, well, I take that back. We now actually have the Spokane County Republican Party. The Spokane County Republican Party is initiating a First Amendment petition to take to their county commissioners. You know, this means something, because when you actually see somebody doing it, then you go, you know what? It's obviously making sense, and people are starting to understand. Now, I've been talking about this for a long time. As a matter of fact, I covered this last summer. I've gone through this for not even a year yet. Actually, I take that back. It was over a year ago when we started actually bringing this to your attention and trying to get this concept kind of laid out here for you. So, okay, so let's just say 3/4 of a year ago, right? 9 months ago, we kind of laid this at your feet. How many of you have First Amendment petitions? How many of you have got a small little petition team or committee or, you know, whatever you want to call yourselves? How many do you have in actually being involved in saying, we've got to do this? If you start creating the First Amendment petitions and you start managing those petitions, you know, like court cases, you put a file number on it, or you put a, you know, petition number on it. And if you want to put a petition number, or you have a scheme, you know, an administrative scheme that says, okay, so these are for the county commissioners, these are for the sheriff, these are for, because you have a right to petition any public servant. I have to emphasize this. You have a right, a constitutional right, to petition any public servant. You don't even have to be a resident of that state. So we're going to get into what it takes to be a petition, or what and who actually can submit a petition and to whom. Any public servant that takes an oath of office, they can be served with a petition for the redress of grievances, because they've taken that oath to support it. And you can walk up to them and say, you are violating the Constitution. All you have to do is be a U.S. citizen. Let me clarify. If you want to read the First Amendment along with me, then we will do this with you, because this is really, really important. So let me pull up the First Amendment. You go to the Constitution. Let me see here. Here's the Bill of Rights. And what we have to do is we kind of have to meander through this, because Congress shall make no law, dot, dot, dot. Or Congress shall make no law respecting, dot, dot, dot. Abridging the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances. If you create all these dot dots, basically, because you can, there's There's the Establishment Clause. There's the religious protections. There's religious expressions, exercise of speech, freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, the right of the people to assemble. Each of those, you could create your own little line that Congress shall make no law respecting this, shall respecting this, this, and this. What we want to focus on is petition. We'll be right back.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so this isn't this difficult, but what I did was I inserted dot, dot, dots for you. And so if, and all I'm doing is I'm deleting three little segments out of the First Amendment so that you can read this and understand how this applies. Congress shall make no, I'm not inserting any words, I'm just removing the words to remove these other rights to focus on the right of petition. Congress shall make no law, dot, 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 abridging the, dot, 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 right of the people, dot, 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 to petition the government for the redress of grievances. Okay? So they can't make any law abridging your right to petition government for the redress of grievances. So who's government? Well, you don't petition the building. You don't petition the, you know, the room. You petition those people who are serving our public servants. Those, that's why they all have to take an oath to be there. And the one thing that they didn't have when they wrote this Constitution, the one thing that we needed to have injected into this, because when they wrote this, they couldn't imagine how people would not honor this. But it's been proven, and as a matter of fact, I think Bob Schultz talks about this, that it was shortly during, you know, the when Van Buren created the gag rules against slavery in the Senate. Basically, he started stifling the ability for the people to petition government. In other words, there were certain things that the Senate would not allow to be discussed on the floor. And in so doing, he actually violated the rights of the people to petition government over the issues of slavery. And this was the attempt of government to start creating laws. Now, they didn't create a law against the people. They just silenced the people because they made a rule that says we can't hear that. It's the same thing as them trying to create a law that says you only have 2 minutes to petition us. They can't limit you. It says right here, they can make no law. Now, so when they say Congress shall make no law to take away this right from you, guess what? This has now been applied by the 14th Amendment. Now, I get into these discussions, and I know that there's a lot of people that have come to these conclusions on the 14th Amendment, that the 14th Amendment is wrong, it's bad. I want to understand, and I want you to understand, and I want to help you get to this point where you can get your arms around this. The 14th Amendment is truly given to us by the divine hand of providence, because when you look at now having the power to be able to petition government for the redress of grievances, you didn't have that right prior to the 14th Amendment. Because in Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, it states, and actually I'm going to have to go to this, because just so it's important that I put it all together for you, right? So this is what it says. No state shall make or enforce, this is the second sentence in Section 1. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. Well, what are the privileges and immunities granted to the citizens? Well, it's right here in the Constitution. If it's a privilege, like your right of petition, then no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privilege of your right to petition. In other words, they can't do anything. Your governor can't take away that right, not even for an emergency sake. Saying you have to wear, I mean, if you're compromised lung condition like myself, then okay, you're going to want to wear a mask, and you'd appreciate it if other people around you wore a mask, especially if they're sick. If they have a cough, a sore throat, any inclinations, you know, if they do me a favor and put a mask on and protect me, please. I mean, that's a civil society. It's a rude, belligerent society when, you know, people want to get in your face because, you know, they don't have to be civil. They can be as rude and crude as they want to be. That's a sad indictment that we have. The framers, they operated on civility. Anyway, the fact of the matter is that your county commissioners cannot create or, you know, allow you to be, you know, having this right of petition to be abridged. The same thing with your sheriff. Folks, you have a right and ability to go and shut them down every day with First Amendment petitions. Now, you can't deliver the same petition each time, but if you have a different petition each time and your county commissioners are going to be operating and they're so out of control that you need to shut them down, well, you got to get first, you have to have your sheriff on board. So the first and most important position that you need to ensure that is obliging by the Constitution is your sheriff. So what you have to do is you start getting these petition signatures. You haven't even petitioned anybody, but you start getting ready to petition the county commissioners regarding an XYZ issue, whether it be the school board, whether it be the invasion, whether it be your governor needs to be removed. We're going to start hitting them with a barrage of petitions, or you have to do this. And the reason you have to do this is because in the election coming up, you can easily stand up and say, here is a list of petitions that we have petitioned our county commissioners, this person, and this person, who are all up for re-election this election year, and they have failed to actually do our bidding. They have failed to represent us, and we've demanded them to hold their oath, to hold them accountable to their oath, and they refuse to. Folks, why would we continue to vote these people in when they're actually allowing our rights to be violated? That's a very powerful message. I mean, it's one thing to say, I don't like you, and it's another thing to say, this guy's better, but now you actually have a tangible reason why that person should not be elected. And more importantly, you can prove to them that because they have failed to support the Constitution requires that they be removed. And right now, we don't have a mechanism or an ability to actually remove them. And that in itself is a problem. And I can't emphasize that enough either. So anyway, as we start going through this, then you can start understanding, wow, this First Amendment petition thing is pretty important. It is integral in all of this. Now, common law and common law grand juries is also very important as well. But it only becomes an important play. It only really becomes, you know, a fulcrum. You know what a fulcrum is? A fulcrum is a high point that you can use a lever to get underneath an object to lift and move that object. And so this common law grand jury is a fulcrum because once you can establish this, because, you got a car stuck, right? You need to elevate it and get it up. You don't have a winch. You don't have cables. You don't have pulleys. And you can't lift the whole world like Aristotle wants to do. And so, but you can use a lever and you can, prop things up. Now, if it's really, really heavy, you have to have a lever that is, in the right position with a long enough, lever that you can actually, get on the end of it and prop something up. It's really not that hard. I mean, when you look at these jacks that lift up cars, right? What is that? It's basically the same thing. Well, some of them are hydraulics, but some others, if you have the old ratchet jack, if you remember those old ones that, your father had that would lift up your car to change the tire. I mean, that was just and it was all basically a lever fulcrum methodology. You can move the world if you have a lever long enough and a fulcrum. And the point is that these common law grand juries and these common law courts are a fulcrum because it allows us, the people, to be able to create indictments against people, whether the law is being broken or not. This is why we want you to understand this, but you can't just go in and create a common law court. There are organizations that say you have a right to create a common law court right now. No, you can't. Why? Because you are not a democracy. We are in a Republican form of government. This is the key issue you have to understand on common law court and common law grand juries. In America, when we shed this government of a monarchy and we actually obtain these protections and these rights by the Constitution and representation and a Republican form of government, in other words, a government based on the rule of law and our own representation, then we actually have to get our representatives, we have to get our county commissioners and our sheriff to acknowledge our right to common law courts and common law grand juries and be able to actually move forward in using them. Because they're the ones that have to establish this. If you do it by the voice of the people, then that's a mob rule. That's a democracy. You can't do that. But we can use the voice of the people in petitioning government and then calling them out and holding them accountable at the election period. That may be kind of a mob rule, but that is the fundamental tool that we have that is a guaranteed right under this Constitution. I can't emphasize this enough, how petitions and petition management is your first focus for getting organized as we start monetizing Reclaiming the Republic. Anyway, we will be back in our next episode getting into more details regarding what you can do and how to do this in your county level. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.